Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Thursday, March 19th, and similar to the last podcast, we are here in very different spirits than we initially anticipated. Today was supposed to be the first day of games.
Yeah.
First day of the first round.
Don't remind me.
Oh, we came out with a banging tweet about that if you want to check it out. But just me and Luke today, two-man show, and despite there being no March Madness, which we hashed over that last podcast, we are all very upset about. That doesn't mean there's not stuff going on in the college basketball world.
Correct.
And for the first time, we are going to be breaking down some news and notes from around the college basketball world. This is kind of going to be like a off-season staple of sorts, just breaking down everything. And Luke, would you like to talk about the first little bit of news?
Yeah, so Rick Pitino, he's getting back in the game after all the crap he did at Louisville.
Strippers, yeah, money, and yeah, everything.
So I'm not a Rick Pitino fan. I like his son, Richard Pitino, who I think is actually doing a great job at Minnesota, bringing that program back from the dead. But Rick Pitino, not so much. But he will be coaching at Iona for the Gaels, who have actually made a lot more NCAA tournament appearances than some may have than some may think in the past.
They kind of dominate their conference.
Yeah.
Does Iona turn into like one of those mid-majors powerhouses with Rick Pitino? Because you know he's going to get the recruits.
Not right away.
Yeah.
Give it 5 years or so. Because I think that if Rick Pitino's team gets really good, you know he'll be investigated immediately.
Oh, absolutely.
NCAA will not be having
super
any of that shit.
Controversial hire for Iona. And I think the only way they were able to get away with this hire basically scot-free was because it's in the middle of this huge coronavirus epidemic. So people don't really care if Rick Pitino is getting back into college basketball coaching because, you know what, and rightfully so, it's not really on the forefront of everyone's mind right now.
Yeah, but I think that this gamble will pay off for Iona.
I think it will too.
Maybe not in the next 2 years, but 3 years down the road, Pitino's recruits come flooding in. It's going to be a good team.
I mean, normally Iona's what, a perennial 13-14 seed that gets whooped by 25 points. Maybe things will change. Maybe things will change for Iona.
Potentially.
Then we got some transfer news. People are already transferring. The biggest one, this happened just today, I believe.
Yeah, yep.
Ohio State guard DJ Carlton has entered.
Is it Carton or Carlton?
Carton. I think it's Carton, actually.
I think it's
Carton.
DJ Carton.
My apologies. I misread. He has entered the transfer portal. Don't know where he's going yet, but he averaged 10.7 points per game and 3 assists per game.
Yeah, he was only a freshman this year.
Yeah.
Please come to Iowa.
I do not know if he wants to come to Iowa with all the players they're going to have next year.
Well, our guards are what's lacking a little bit. I mean, we have J-Bo, Connor McCaffrey, Joe Toussaint, but Bakari Evelyn's gone, so wiggle his way in maybe.
Quite possibly.
You know, we'll see. I mean, we'll make an episode later talking about what teams are going to be good next year. But that's one to stay on the radar.
Watch out for Luke's Hawkeyes. So a devastating blow to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Because I believe Andre Wesson is gone after this year. I don't know if Caleb's going to go to the draft or if he stays.
Was Caleb a junior?
Yeah, but Andre is a senior. Andre was the last player. It's going to be the last player there that played for Thad Matta. So.
Oh, all right. And this one is more than one player, okay? We're talking about the Wichita State Shockers here. They had a total of 6 players transfer already. Remember, this was a bubble team, and the season ended less than a week ago, and they have already had 6 total players transfer. There are only 3 players that are still on this team that averaged 10-plus minutes. Not points, minutes.
Sounds like Iowa when they were depleted.
Those 3 players being Dexter Dennis, Tyson Etienne, and Trey Wade.
Is Tyson Etienne Travis Etienne's brother?
The
running back
football
for Clemson?
That's a good question. I want to say no, but
I want to say yes, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I would love to say yes. That'd be awesome.
And one of those 3 guys, if not all 3 of them, could transfer.
Yeah.
So what if everybody transfers from Wichita State? What is Greg Marshall going to do?
Good question. He brought in some good transfers, turn around the program just like that, and then they just leave him. And especially with the American getting a lot stronger this year. That's bold. I don't know if I would have done that. So.
Well, think about it. This year, Wichita State was the youngest team in America. There was some stat like that. Their average year of experience on their roster was 1.01 years. So basically, it was a team full of sophomores. And when you look at it that way, all these guys transferring, it doesn't, like, just from an outsider's perspective, it doesn't really make sense initially, because it's like you were only losing one person. This team should be loaded next year because you're already a bubble team this year. So tell me if you agree or disagree with this one. This has to be at least somewhat on Greg Marshall, the coach.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think that there were some games they played in that a lot of the players weren't happy with the substitutions. Especially being in the American, they thought this is a conference where I should come and dominate. But I never really saw Wichita State as much as a team this year as I did a bunch of individuals. Which is why it would have been scary to pick them in March. Because I'm like, well, if they just want to play as individuals, they're not going to get it done. But
I mean, Eric Stevenson was one of the people who transferred. He was a guy that I was hyping up probably start of the year, mid-year. And it just looked like you could see it out on the court. He had mentally quit on that team. Got benched, rightfully so.
Yeah.
And, like, let's just, like, do a flashback right now to our midseason awards podcast. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall who I said Coach of the Year candidate was? Greg Marshall.
Greg Marshall. Not anymore.
That, I don't know if he's just rubbing guys the wrong way, if it's like a personality thing. And he's still a great coach. Don't, you know, get this twisted. He's made it to a Final Four back when they were in the Missouri Valley Conference. Yeah. So he's done great things at Wichita State. But, ooh, if you're a Shocker fan, this is not ideal.
Definitely not ideal for sure. But we do have some other very notable transfers. Altari Gilbert, the point guard of UConn, who is talented this year, is also transferring. Don't know where.
That hurts a UConn Husky squad.
Yeah, they're moving to the Big East, too.
They're moving to the Big East. They were young, kind of like Wichita State, too. They at least had Booknight, who had some experience.
Yeah, this was one of their best players moving down the stretch. He would have been their guy to go to next year. Jalen Carey transferring from Syracuse, point guard. We have James Akinjo. Remember, kind of got he got kicked off at Georgetown.
He's at Arizona now,
right? Yeah, he's going to Arizona. So Trey McGowan's from Pitt, who is a shooting guard, who's supposed to be good. He's young. He is also transferring. So this is going to be entertaining. And Bryce Aiken of Harvard, the guard for Harvard,
is going to have
experience. I am interested to see where he goes.
R.I.P. our Crimson, Luke. We loved Harvard.
Yeah.
And this is just the start. It's been maybe 3, 4, or 5 days since guys could start transferring. There's going to be a lot more bombshells to drop. We promise you that.
Oh, absolutely. Isaac McBride from Kansas going to Vanderbilt. So maybe Vanderbilt gets revived. Because remember, they used to be good at basketball.
Good might be a little bit of a stretch. They were a solid
4-8 seed every year.
They've been okay in the past. The last time I remember them in the tournament was an 8 seed versus Northwestern. And Northwestern actually beat him that game.
Yeah, Northwestern should have beat Zags the next game too. But, you know, we all have our qualms. That being said, we will keep you posted on the transfers because it's going to be a big offseason.
It absolutely will be. Next, we are going to do something that we had always wanted to do, but due to the fact that there was no official bracket posted this year, we were unable to break down a bracket. Do our bracket breakdown, our favorite podcast of the year every year. But fear not, because there have been many projected brackets that have came out about speculating what people thought the bracket would be. And we found our perfect projected bracket right here, and we are going to break it down for you.
Yeah. Without further ado, this comes from the New York Post, by the way.
Yeah. So we looked at, like, Lenardi's bracket, Jerry Palm's bracket. And the New York Post, it might seem like it's coming a little bit out of left field because they're not like a bracketology thing, but we all kind of agreed with how they set up the bracket.
Yeah, I mean, I would have kind of rather done Lenardi's, but at the same time, this was the first one that came out before Lenardi's projections. So we had already crunched the numbers on this one and filled it out. So
we all filled out our bracket. Hopefully when Wesley and Alex are back, they'll be able to share their picks. But we're going to break down all the first round games. Let's start it off with the first game. Obviously, number 1 seeded Dayton versus 16 seeded Winthrop.
I feel like this would have been a closer game than people anticipated. I think Dayton would win, but I think it would kind of give them a little bit of momentum going forward. It might scare them a little bit. Winthrop is one of the better 16 seeds I've seen in the past 10 years.
Don't forget, they beat St. Mary's earlier in the year. That's kind of being overlooked by a lot of people.
Yeah.
But obviously, you can't go against Dayton there. I'm on record saying I would have picked Dayton to win it all, and this bracket I filled out for fun shows that. Next game, we have 8-seeded St. Mary's, just talked about them, versus 9-seeded Oklahoma.
I like St. Mary's in this one.
I'm with you there. Jordan Ford in a March Madness game. Oh, he would have done something special.
Yeah, I'd go with St. Mary's here. But Oklahoma, Christian Doolittle is going to be a player to watch next year too. Very talented, really started to step up. I think he's the reason why they would have been in the tournament.
Is Brady Manek going to be back next year for Oklahoma?
I'm not sure.
I hope not. I don't like watching games with Brady Manek in them. Just, once again, gives me the creeps.
I do agree with that one. Next game we have number 5 Butler versus number 12 Akron.
Our first 5-12 matchup.
Me and Charlie disagree with this one. Even though I love my Zips, I was the first one on the Zips. I would have picked Butler in this one.
I realize that Butler has one of the all-time great closers in college basketball from this year, Kamar Baldwin. But how can you go against your Akron Zips, Luke? You were there since day one.
Because their defense is terrible.
Yeah, but they have that one point guard, 5'8".
Yeah.
Lauren Christian Jackson, LCJ. That's his
name. But he's also going against Butler's defense, which is...
Butler was fading at the end of the year.
But I really thought Butler would bring the hustle in the big dance when it mattered. So I think they would have won this one. And I am not anti 5'12 upset usually. But right here, I think I'm going to go with it.
Oof. Akron all day. On to the 4-13 matchup. Oh, boy. The team that I hate the most. The Maryland Terrapins facing the 13-seeded New Mexico State Aggies. I am
Terps.
Reluctantly going with the Terps here.
Fear the Turtle.
I think Turgeon.
Anthony Cowan.
I think Turgeon gets it done against the New Mexico State Aggies, who have been to the tournament, I want to say 8 out of the past 10 years, but haven't yet won. So they just kind of have that voodoo against them. And yeah, Anthony Cowan.
Absolutely. And then we have another game. This would have been a rematch from last year had this bracket been the right one. 6 Iowa versus 11 Cincinnati.
I think the result would have been the same as last year, too.
I agree.
Iowa all day.
I got Iowa. They did beat Cincy earlier in the season pretty handily. So, and Iowa's a better team than they were last year. Cincinnati, I don't think they are a better team.
Cincy's always physical, but
yeah.
They're not going to be able to match up with Luka Garza.
Try to out-physical Luka Garza. You will not succeed.
You will not.
I was watching some of his training routine and his workouts, and he really works hard. So I don't... He doesn't run out of breath. He doesn't get gassed. He is an absolute workhorse.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of Luka Garza, you may have thought we were going to do like our National Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, end of season awards. That's for next podcast. We need a little bit of more time to kind of sleep on the season as a whole before we make our decisions.
You guys know who I'm picking, though. That's just a little foreshadowing.
Yes.
But then we have a 3-14 matchup in Duke versus Arkansas Little Rock. We all loved the story of Arkansas Little Rock a few years ago.
4 years ago, I think.
A few years ago when they upset Purdue. However, I'd take Duke in this one. I would like Duke going far in this bracket. However, my colleague here may be disagreeing with me.
Listen, since this is a completely hypothetical bracket, I just said, you know what? Why not? I'm going to go all out. I'm just going to have fun on this bracket. And still with a taste of realism, of course, but Arkansas Little Rock, I had them in this game. Down goes Duke. You could have booked that. Duke has shown to be very, very susceptible to bad teams this year. Have they not?
So you're calling SFA a bad team?
Relatively compared to their ACC opponents, yes.
Their ACC opponents were not that good this
year. That is a fair argument, but they also had a good out-of-conference schedule and whatnot. But Duke has lost to the likes of Wake Forest, Clemson.
But not the Chris likes of Miami.
They have not.
They beat them by 30.
I think Arkansas Little Rock could have pulled this one off. They won 7 straight games towards the end of the year. Not to close out the year, but towards the end of the year. Playing like a team? I don't know. I saw that game as a possible upset.
Then we have a 7-10 matchup between Michigan and Utah State. Charlie, your Aggies in this one or no?
See, I kind of feel like the same way that you were with Akron. I want to pick my Utah State Aggies. I'd been with them all year, but I can't go against Michigan. I think they're way too good of a team, whereas Utah State is more just Sam Merrill.
Yeah.
And you know what? Michigan's going to beat Sam Merrill. So.
Yeah, I mean, Franz Wagner, the way that he started playing at the end of the season, the experience that they have with Xavier Simpson, John Teske, the people that have experienced this, and the way Brandon Johns Jr. is playing, they got a lot of talent. I'm interested to see how they play next year. Because I think that they did not play up to their potential this year.
Yeah, they could be an interesting team next year.
Yeah.
I really like Juwan Howard, too.
It'll be different without Xavier Simpson next year. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. No hook shot. No Captain Hook.
No Captain Hook, but David DeJulius will be there, and I love me some David Julius, some David Orange to Julius.
Yes, and as a little sneak peek into what was like going to happen further in the bracket, I had Michigan going to the Elite Eight. I thought they could have gone on a potential run because they do have the senior leadership of Xavier Simpson, who he's been to the national championship game. He knows how to get stuff done.
Very good at controlling the pace of the game, yes. Then we have 2 Nova versus 15 North Dakota State. I don't think this would have been close.
No,
not even Summit close. League champs, North Dakota State. I don't think they would upset Nova.
But I think Michigan would have been the next round.
Potentially. I don't think they would have, but, you know.
Did you see in the Basketball Power Index, the BPI simulation on ESPN?
Yeah.
Did you take a peek at what their bracket was?
I did not. I saw Wisconsin and BYU.
They broke down an entire projected bracket. Similar to this one, not exactly the same. They had Nova as a 3 seed losing in the first round to Hofstra. They had Michigan State as a 3 seed losing in the first round to Bradley. So Bradley getting revenge for losing to them last year in the first round. So there were 3 14 seeds winning, or 2 14 seeds winning, rather. And there were 0 1 seeds in the Elite Eight.
Well, I like the 0 1 seeds.
It was a crazy simulation. And in the end, Wisconsin ended up beating BYU in the national championship game, which would have been crazy here in Wisconsin. But so if you think we're picking too many upsets in this projected bracket, go check out the Basketball Power Index's simulation.
Yeah, but at the same time, it doesn't matter if Wisconsin got the projected win because Ryan Kreener called dibs for Iowa. So automatic win.
He did.
Respect the rules of dibs.
On to the Midwest region, we have 1-seeded Kansas facing, I don't even feel the need to like name these teams because it's just
Siena's actually pretty good. I don't know.
2-16 seeds.
Siena would not have gotten a play-in game. That's my only qualm with the New York.
And that's a pretty small qualm. But
yeah.
Kansas, Rock Chalk, Jayhawk.
It's a small. Yeah, but Rock Chalk. Moving on. Then we got 8 Florida and 9 USC.
This is an interesting one. What's your take on that?
USC.
I agree.
Better guard play. In my opinion.
And Florida has not played like a team this entire year.
No.
Mike White has not gotten his boys to jive for whatever reason. Probably him, honestly.
They got the talent. I mean,
yeah. When you have Kerry Blackshear on your team, including 2 5-stars, 2 to 3 5-stars, I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to say it was 3, maybe 2. You should not be an 8 seed. You just shouldn't be. But then, at the same time, North Carolina says hello.
Yeah.
So, on to the 5-12 matchup. We have 5-seeded Auburn versus 12-seeded East Tennessee State, or ETSU.
I like East Tennessee State in this one.
I do, too. It's a simple... This is a pretty easy 12-seed to predict.
I wouldn't say it's easy, because Auburn's not a terrible team. I mean, they were in the Final Four last year.
As a 5-seed. Yeah, that's a fair point.
So.
But East Tennessee State is hot right now. I think they won 11 straight going into the tournament.
And need I remind you guys, last year when Auburn made the Final Four as a 5-seed, they got lucky that New Mexico State didn't know how to hit free throws in the 5-12 matchup.
Yeah.
I had Auburn 12 seeds winning, are scary, so I was happy, but...
Next game, we've got the champions, according to the BPI, Wisconsin Badgers, facing the 13-seeded Vermont Catamounts.
I like Vermont, but Wisconsin matches up really well against Vermont, so I would have had Wisconsin roll badge in this one.
Would have been Anthony Lamb's send-off game there for Vermont.
Yeah, and I don't think it would have gone particularly well for him.
Yeah, at least it would have been in the tournament, though.
Yeah, that's true. Then you have 6-seed West Virginia against the 11 playing game, Wichita State and Richmond. I would have had Richmond winning against Wichita State. Then I would probably have Richmond beating West Virginia. I don't like West Virginia.
We are seeing eye to eye on things as of right now. I have a feeling it's going to change. But I don't even really like Wichita State or Richmond. Obviously, looking at Wichita State now, after seeing that 6 of their guys have transferred, they're probably not a team that you would have wanted to pick in March Madness. And Richmond, they're okay, but they haven't blown me away this year. They have that nice win over Wisconsin way back in November. But West Virginia has looked so bad at the end of the year. We've called them frauds probably a million times. I didn't see them winning one game.
Fraudulence.
Absolutely.
Sure. But then we have our 7-10 matchup, and this would be a rematch.
You skipped the 3-14 matchup there.
3-14. We have Creighton versus Belmont. I like Creighton because Creighton's really
absolutely
good.
They were rolling.
But then we have our 7-10 rematch of last year's national championship game, Texas Tech and Virginia. I would have taken Texas Tech, because I think they would have really gotten up for this one, because some of the players on that team know the heartbreak of last year. Past who hit the shot in the corner to tie it? Was that It wasn't Guy. It was...
Oh, it was DeAndre Hunter for Virginia.
DeAndre Hunter. That's right.
Yeah, Texas Tech, they really... Some would say they should have won that championship game.
Yeah, I mean, you can't break down on that, like, defense. You can't break down like that on defense at the end of the game. You just
cannot.
Got to lock down when it matters. I think Texas Tech would have ran Virginia off the court in this one. Because Virginia likes a slow pace of play. I'm not saying it wouldn't have been close. I'm saying that Texas Tech's energy,
up and down the court.
Energy and pace. Yeah, because Texas Tech likes to play faster. Virginia does not. So I think that Texas Tech would have had their way in this one.
I'm with you. I would have taken the mini upset of Texas Tech over Virginia. Texas Tech, they haven't looked like they hadn't really shown all that much to validate this pick, I would say. But when you look at the players on that team, and obviously their championship caliber of coach, Chris Beard, I think they would have got up for this game and beat Virginia. But while me and Luke may have picked that one, a lot of people were in disagreement. Alex, who could not be here today, I believe he had Virginia in his Elite Eight. Yeah. Something like that.
And don't get me wrong, I do like Virginia, but I don't like the matchup they would have had here.
I do not like Virginia, but I still think that would have been a great game. That would have been very fun to watch.
Then we would have had Michigan State as a 2 against 15 seed UC Irvine.
Zot, zot, zot. Are we feeling the anteaters here, Luke?
No, we are not feeling
the anteaters. Yeah, we're not feeling the anteaters here. Michigan State all day.
Cassius and Xavier going to stick together. What a duo that was this season. We just have to say how fun it was to watch them.
Yeah, the state of Michigan will miss them both.
No Cassius, no Xavier Simpson in the state of Michigan next year. That is going to be weird.
What are they going to do?
I don't know. Going to have to turn over a newly foster lawyer. I don't think he's it, but...
On to the South region.
Number 1 seed Baylor facing off against Boston University from the America East. Nope, not the America East. They used to play in the America East. That's
the Patriot League, I think.
The Patriot League. Yep, they switched. So.
Yeah, first time there since 2011, I think.
Yeah.
Baylor all day.
Yep.
Pretty self-explanatory there.
Gillespie would control the boards to say the least in this one. Mm-hmm. Then we have an 8-9 matchup between LSU and Arizona. Me and Charlie wholeheartedly disagree on this one. I liked Arizona in this one.
I did not like Arizona. They looked so bad towards the end of the year, and their three best players, Nico Mannion, Zeke Najee, and Josh Green, are all freshmen. That's not exactly what you want in March Madness.
They have chemistry, though.
I would argue they don't have chemistry, actually. They hadn't really jived that well as a team. And while LSU hadn't been playing their best basketball either, I had seen at least signs of light from them at some point during the year. LSU all day in that one, and then LSU up over Baylor in the next round.
Yeah, no, I would have had Baylor in my Sweet 16 beating Arizona instead. But, you know, then we have 5 Ohio State and 12 SFA.
Charlie's Jacks. Oh, boy, the most anticipated game, for me at least, on this entire bracket. Do I even need to say my pick? SFA all day. SFA Elite 8 run.
I would have had the Jacks in this one, too, because Ohio State is stagnant.
You would have? Wow.
Stagnant on offense. They play with low energy. It seemed like, especially with DJ Carden transferring, it didn't really seem like he needed to do that. So
maybe show a little bit of dysfunction in the team.
Definitely a little bit of dysfunction.
I think Kevon
dysfunctionality.
Harris. I think Kevon Harris would have absolutely stepped up to the test that would have been this game. And I think Gavin Kensmill would have actually been the X factor in the game.
I think the X factor in this game, and I don't think he would have played well. Which is why I would have picked SFA, but if he would play well, the X factor would be EJ Liddell for Ohio State.
Oh yeah, he is X factor for Ohio State. I will give you that.
And then we move on to the next one: Louisville versus Yale.
Little 4-13.
I had this matchup predicted in my Sweet 16 last year. Both of them lost in the first round. So not big fans of either of these teams. But
and,
I take Louisville.
And we're not fans of the Ivy League, as you know. We're kind of just boycotting them as a whole.
Or Yale, we hate.
Or Yale. Just Yale sucks.
Harvard all day.
Screw Yale. This is more of a moral pick. I'm not
Louisville.
Like, I couldn't pick Yale, so yeah, Louisville.
Louisville for sure.
And then SFA over Louisville in the next round, and then SFA over LSU in the Sweet 16 matchup to get to the Elite Eight.
That's unbelievable.
I've done it before in a real bracket, so don't think I wouldn't have done that.
No, I'm not saying you wouldn't have. I'm just saying it's unbelievable because it's hard to believe that would have happened. Hence the definition of unbelievable.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
But then we would move on to the 6 seed Penn State, which would face the winner of the 11 seed game, UCLA or Texas. I would have had Texas in this one.
I'm the complete opposite.
I
would have had UCLA in this one.
I don't like either of these teams.
But if Texas beat UCLA, I would have Penn State beating Texas.
Yeah, I would have Penn State beating both of them. I don't like either of these teams.
Oh. Okay, so I guess we're...
wholeheartedly disagree, because you would have UCLA. You had UCLA.
I have UCLA. I think they were getting hot at the right time of year. Campbell, Mick Cronin, fantastic coach.
I had Penn State, and then I think for the rest of this region, I think we agree. We have Seton Hall versus Hofstra. Tough draw for Hofstra this would have been, because they're a solid team, but, you know, facing off against the Pirates with Mamu Kalashvili, Romero Gill, Miles Powell, Quincy McKnight. They have all the pieces. Yeah, I would like the Seton Hall team to go pretty far.
Oh, yeah. I do, too, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
On to the 7-10 matchup, this would have probably been my favorite game to watch. 7-seeded Providence. Providence on the 7 line. That's actually impressive. Versus 10-seeded Rutgers.
Give me Rutgers.
Rutgers all day. I really liked Providence going into the tournament, but, you know, one of our tips and tricks when it comes to filling out your bracket is to go with your gut. If your gut is saying something on a game when your mind might be saying something else, always go with your gut. My gut was telling me Rutgers was winning a game in March Madness this year. I would have had them over Providence even when basically all of conventional wisdom was telling me that Providence is getting hot at the right time, but Rutgers has Geo Baker.
Yeah, our perennial Rutgers hater Alex is not here today, and he's a Big East kind of guy too, so we know he would have had Providence.
I believe Wesley had Providence as well.
Yeah, but I disagree with that pick. And then moving on to the 2-15, we have Florida State versus Horizon League champs Northern Kentucky.
Horizon League
is all you have to
that
say.
That always gets a chuckle Florida out of
State.
Me.
Florida State, for sure.
Yeah, Florida State.
Rock, no, what do they call the
Rock
chant?
Tomahawk?
Rock
Tomahawk. Isn't that it?
No, it's not Rock Tomahawk. It's just Tomahawk Chalk. That's what
Tomahawk
it is.
Chalk, that's
there
what
go.
It is.
There you
okay.
go, Tomahawk Chalk. Oh, Florida State all day.
Yes, sir.
But then we move on to the West region. Zags being the one seed, facing the winner of Robert Morris and Prairie View. I would have had Robert Morris winning that one. But then getting absolutely smoked by the Zags.
Yeah, Zags by 30. That's our slogan here.
That's your slogan.
I think, yeah, it's mine. Yeah. Wesley kind of has adapted it as well.
I said it once, and it didn't happen. So, but then we would have had 8-seed Colorado versus 9-seed Marquette.
This is a game of
you
two teams that I think are not good.
Scobuffs.
I am thinking Scobuffs. I think they would beat Marquette because Marquette looked like not even an NIT team in probably the last 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and Marks Howard would have to face McKinley Wright, and we know Marks Howard's not a good defender.
And I think Marks Howard would have had a good game on the offense. Like, he probably could have dropped 30, but...
Yeah, but Marcus Howard
what's that gonna
a good
do?
Offensive game.
Yeah.
So, McKinley Wright would have taken over this
game. I think Evan Batty would have dominated Theo John down low, which is rare.
Gotten him in foul trouble,
yeah,
probably.
But those are two teams that I do not like either of them. I was planning on picking against both those teams, but when they're paired up against each other, you got to do what you got
to
do.
So then we move on to our 5-12, BYU versus the 12-seeded Liberty Flames. I hate Liberty, but I would have picked Liberty in this one.
Even though Scotty James?
Yeah, I cannot stand Scotty James. Simp activity detective.
Some would say he is a simp.
Yep.
But, so you're going with Liberty in that one?
Yeah. Are you going with TJ Haw's dad?
I'm BYU. Going with BYU. Yoli Childs, TJ Haw's, Jake Toulson. And not only am I going with them to win that game, I would have had BYU in my Final Four.
See, I just don't agree with that one. But then we move on to number 4, Oregon versus number 13, North Texas. I mean, great draw for Oregon. I was looking for an upset to pick against them, but...
But the mean green...
The mean green. Not so mean in this one. So we'll take the green of Oregon over the mean green of North Texas.
The neon green of Oregon.
The neon green. But then we have 6 versus 11, Houston and Indiana. This would have been a fun one to watch.
I think so, too, because I'm not as high on Houston as... say a Wesley is, or honestly a lot of people I feel like were high in Houston. Yeah. So I think it would have been close, but in the end I'm going to go with Houston.
I would take Houston in this one. Indiana's a good team, just tough draw. Tough 6-seed. Like Penn State, I guess Iowa's a good 6-seed, but if you cut it to West Virginia, I mean, I would have had Indiana over West Virginia all day by like
absolutely.
15 points. But Houston, yeah, I'll take them in this one. But then we have 3 Kentucky versus 14 Eastern Washington. Big Blue Nation would have won this one.
Absolutely. They would have won handily, I think. I'm not the biggest Kentucky guy here. Luke, I knew you had Kentucky going places.
Me and Alex were high on Kentucky. Except in this style of bracket, I would have liked the team from the 7-10 matchup to make a Final Four run.
Wow. I had them in my Elite Eight, so I'm not too far off. But 7-seeded Illinois playing 10-seeded Arizona State. Yep. We are in agreement here.
Remy Martin versus Io DeSunmu and the rest of Illinois. So Illinois versus Remy Martin.
I don't think this one would have even, frankly, been close.
No, I don't think so either. I think Illinois would have won by 20.
Like, their next game would have been close. Illinois versus 2-seeded San Diego State, who would have taken down Bradley, by the way.
Yeah.
Probably, actually. Probably. I don't know.
But then I guess we'll just start with the West and head back, kind of in a snake style, since we're already talking about the West. Illinois, I would have had them going, so I would have had Kentucky, or actually...
Here, let's break this down from a more holistic point of view. We'll each mention two teams that we thought that we picked to go make, like, maybe an Elite Eight Final Four run that would not have been expected. Two teams that we thought were going to get upset fairly quick, although we may have gone over that in round one. And then we'll share our Final Fours and championship game. So first, let's just share some teams that we thought were going to make surprise runs in the tournament. Obviously, I had already shared my Stephen F. Austin Elite Eight, and I had already shared my BYU Final Four run as a 5-seed. Sneaky. But I had ETSU in the Sweet 16 as a 12-seed. I had them upsetting Wisconsin in the second round, who is a very good team. My Badgers would have put up a good fight that game. And I also had Illinois in the Elite Eight. Me and you were kind of seeing eye to eye on that one.
Yeah, so when we talk about the West region, that would have been messy for me. Because I actually, as much as I actually did like the Zags this year, I think Colorado Scobus would have picked up steam. I think they would have beat them. Colorado as an 8-seed in Sweet 16.
Really?
Facing 4-seed Oregon. And then the bottom, I would have had Houston upsetting Kentucky. And having Houston, even though I'm a Kentucky guy, I like the way Houston plays basketball. I think it would have been Houston versus Illinois who would have upset San Diego State. And I would have had an Illinois-Oregon Elite Eight, 7-seed versus 4-seed. I would have had Illinois going to my Final Four.
That's ballsy. I respect it, though.
7-seed.
Hey, just quick question. What happened last year when you picked a 7-seed to go to the Final Four?
Okay, Louisville lost to Minnesota first round. But Minnesota's a lot better of a team than Arizona State. I can tell you that right now.
I'll give you that. And then Final Four, coming out of the East region, I would have 1-seeded Dayton. Coming out of the Midwest region, I would have 1-seeded Kansas. Don't worry, it's not all chalk. I know those were 2 1-seeds. But yeah, coming out of the South region, 3-seeded Seton Hall, I think they would have just been such a mismatch for teams. You know, they hadn't been playing necessarily like their hottest basketball at the end of the year. I would say they were probably playing their best middle of the year. But I think they would have made a surprise Final Four run. And then an even more shocking Final Four run, I think, out of the West region would be the 5-seeded BYU Cougars. They were going to do it on the backs of Yoeli Childs, TJ Hawes, and Jake Toulson. Your Final Four, Luke? Or your thoughts on mine first? Shall I ask?
I like your Seton Hall pick. I would have had them too. I probably would have had them beating Baylor, full disclosure, in the Elite Eight.
I did not like Baylor.
Yeah, that is not too hot of a take. A lot of people didn't like Baylor that much. But I probably would have had Kansas as my Midwest region champs.
Okay,
I think they would have beaten Creighton, not Michigan State.
Okay. I did have Michigan State over Creighton in my Elite Eight.
Yeah, so I got so far I got a 7-seed, a 3-seed, and a 1-seed. And then coming from the top region, I would have had Villanova.
Team I have getting upset by
Michigan.
Michigan.
I would have had them beating Michigan, then beating Duke, who would have beaten Iowa, and then I think that they would have ended up beating Maryland to go to the Final Four.
Wait a minute.
Maryland, yep.
You were telling me that Mark Turgeon
was going
to coach a college Division I basketball team to the Elite Eight of March Madness, not the NIT. Is that what I'm hearing, Luke?
That is what you are hearing. I think Anthony Cowan and Stick Smith are good. The talent is there. Eric Ayala.
I had them in my Sweet 16 as much as I wanted to pick freaking New Mexico State over them.
Or Akron. Yeah, but I would have had them beating beating Maryland, who is a 4-seed. So I would have had Nova as 2-seed, Kansas as a 1-seed, Seton Hall as a 3-seed, and Illinois as a 7-seed. And quite honestly, I probably wouldn't have happened, but I would have had Nova versus Seton Hall in my finals, with Nova winning it.
That would have
been Big East teams, which is kind of
weird. That would have been an incredible final.
Yeah.
Two Big East teams just going at it.
Yeah.
And you would have had Nova winning it all.
I would have.
Jay Wright cutting Jay down Wright the Nets would, for the Jay third Wright time would in get like it 5 years. With
his guys, yes.
My championship game was 1-seeded Dayton versus 3-seeded Seton Hall. So we both had Seton Hall in our championship game, which is a little surprising. And I know Alex was really high on Seton Hall too. But then I had Dayton cutting down the Nets. Would have been an incredible way to send off Obi Toppin to the NBA.
Flyers flying high.
For Anthony Grant, for all the Dayton fans out there, would have been fun. But anyways, it was kind of fun filling out a bracket. Like, it obviously wasn't even a tenth as fun as filling out your actual bracket, because that's one of my favorite things to do all year. But it still got you a little bit of a taste of what March Madness would have been this year. And we're actually going to, we'll link that in our Twitter/Instagram post that we come out with right after this podcast, if you want to fill it out yourself.
Yeah.
And what's up to come next on Made in March, as we mentioned earlier, we're going to have our end of season awards podcast. That will be the next one, probably in like 5 days, something like that. We're starting to space it out just a little bit more. And then we'll just be basically filling you in on the news and notes of the offseason, transfers, who we think's looking good for next year, and all that. So anyways, until next time, this is Made in March.